That game was all right. That was okay. The Tigers dominate the Chicago White Sox at home to kick off a four-game series, and it was easily one of the best games of the year so far for the Detroit Tigers. Let's talk about it all today on Locked On Tigers.
You are Locked On Tigers, your daily Detroit Tigers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Tigers. I'm, of course, your host, Scott Bentley. Today is Friday, May 26, 2023. Thank you so much for making Locked On Tigers your first listen. Every single day, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB, and when you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. The Detroit Tigers just did that. That was absolutely awesome. They win by a score of 7-2 at home to kick off a four-game set against the Chicago White Sox. This was awesome. This was so awesome. Vibes are so high. 7-2 isn't like a blowout of epic proportions, but the Tigers really dominated from the first inning through the end of the ballgame. There was never a doubt that anything besides a Tigers win was going to happen throughout this entire baseball game. It was awesome. They got incredible pitching, starters, relievers. They got an unreal offensive performance. They dominated the zone. This was a dominate the strike zone masterclass. I'm not sure it's possible to dominate the strike zone more than what the Tigers did on both sides of the ball in this one. This was the definition of, okay? We'll get to the game in a second. I want to start with jersey patches because that's like a big thing that everyone wants to talk about. I genuinely do not have too much to say about this. Do I like it? No. Was it inevitable? Yes. Did I see it coming from a mile away and this isn't a surprise and so I coped with this months ago? Yes. Right? Like this is the least surprising thing ever. It happened with the Red Wings, same ownership group. Three sports now do it, right? Well, a lot of sports do it, honestly. If you go outside of the country, I mean, soccer is basically a billboard at this point. I don't want it to get to that, but slippery slope argument is very valid because, like, I don't want a whole jersey covered with ads either. I will totally bend on that one. That's fair. But, like, I'll give the same spiel here that I gave when the Red Wings got their patches. This isn't going to, like, affect your viewing experience, right? Like, when you were in this ballgame, right, on Thursday night, when you were watching from center field, when it was a close-up, you could see it. But when you were watching the at-bats from center field, it just looked like a little blue squiggly line. You couldn't even read the word Meyer. It's a white patch. It blends in. Do I like it? No. I'm not trying to tell you that I love it and you should love it too. No. Obviously, I want just my historic, clean Tigers jerseys, okay? I'm not trying to convince you otherwise of that, but it's not going to harm the viewer experience nearly, like, really at all, to be honest with you. So I'll live, even though I don't like it either. Okay, let's get to the two bad things in this ballgame, and then all good the rest of the show. Sound good? Because I do want to cover everything. I don't just want to I do want to cover everything of everything that happened. The two bad things. One, Riley Green base running mistake can't happen. I'm not really sure what he was thinking there. If he didn't know how many outs there were, maybe. Because genuinely, that ball had no chance of being a hit. That was an absolute duck right to the shortstop. Excuse me. And he was also standing right there. Like, if you're looking behind you, like, as a man on second with a lead, trying to make sure that guy's not going to sneak up behind you and get picked off at second. Like, you're supposed to be aware of where that dude is on the field anyway. And so, I don't know. That just can't happen. Put it behind you. Don't have too much else to add. But that was very much a very bad mistake by Green there on the base pass. And then the other one was two people 50-50 sharing fault here. Alex Fiedo, the only bad thing he did. I'm not trying to take away from his performance. We'll get into the masterclass that was his performance later. But him and Haas just let Jake Berger steal a base and it cost him a run. That's unacceptable stuff. And that's partially Alex Viedo's fault, right? Holding the base runner on is obviously part of the pitcher's responsibility when a runner gets on base. But as a catcher, you're the field general. You have to be aware of that. You also have to help him, especially a young pitcher like Viedo, hold base runners on. So those are the only two like big things that really frustrated me in this ballgame. Outside of that, dang near sunshine and rainbows, okay? This was an absolutely beautiful baseball game. Where do we even want to start? Let's start with Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. Riley Green officially has an 801 OPS. Hang the banner. Let's go down Woodward right now. Everybody, I'll meet you on Woodward. We're throwing a parade. The Detroit Tigers, at the end of May, have someone on their baseball team with an OPS in the 800s. I never thought I would see the day ever again. This is absolutely beautiful. He has been on an absolute tear in the month of May. People were tweeting out his stats, several of the beat writers. I think Steven Hagen is the one that I saw. He's got a batting average in the high 300s in the month of May and an on-base percentage in like the mid or high 400s in the month of May. He has been absolutely phenomenal. This ballgame, no different. Got two hits off of lefties in this ballgame. Now, we've talked a lot about the platooning and the pinch hitting and stuff that Hinch does. And a lot of people were frustrated that Riley Green wasn't in the lineup against lefties. I shared that frustration. It only happened like once, and then he got pinch hit for again. It's not like a consistent thing. But that it happened at all was kind of frustrating to people. And in this ballgame, gets two hits off of lefties. But we have to remember that when Riley Green was in the minors, he would go whole seasons with better splits against lefties than righties. Like literally, I think it was his full double-A season, maybe? 2021? It's remarkable. Like he has gone on month stretches as a pro with better numbers against lefties than righties. So this is a great sign because so far this season, he's had way better numbers against righties than lefties. So seeing him start to hit and lift the ball and go the other way and whatnot against lefties is a fantastic sign. And hopefully he can just keep the ball rolling and continue to just take off, which is already what he's been doing so far in the month of May. And then Spencer Torkelson had a phenomenal night at the plate as well. Riley Green goes 2-for-3 with two walks. Spencer Torkelson goes 2-for-3 with two walks. They got on base, what was it? They had 10 plate appearances, and between the two of them, they had 10 plate appearances and got on base 8 times. Phenomenal stuff. Spencer Torkelson, with some timely hitting as well. They both were responsible for one RBI. And then Zach McKinstry, we'll talk about in a second. I actually don't want to lump him in with them, but that's the future. This is a direct look. Am I just thinking of the word look? This is a direct peek into the future. Okay. This is what we've been dreaming of for 2 or 3 years now, is having a game in which Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson were at the top or middle of this lineup, and we're just getting on base and driving in runs. And the fact that we saw that firsthand in this ballgame is great. Spencer Torkelson also has not like 1,000 OPS good like Riley Green, but his numbers have been much, much better in the month of May than they were in April over the course of the entire month. So that's great to see too. Just a beautiful ballgame by those two. And again, Spencer Torkelson with the timely hitting as well. Clutch. Two out, I think it was. RBI single off of Giolito that bounced Giolito from the ballgame. Giolito, career high in walks against your Detroit Tigers. We'll talk about the walk stuff a little bit later as well. Okay, we got to keep the ball rolling here. We still got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Alex Viedo. We have to talk about all the walks they got. We have to talk about Akil Baddoo, Zach McKinstry. We got to talk about Zach Short. We have so much to go over. You don't even know, okay? We got so much to go over. But first, I got to tell y'all about our friends over at Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs are the comfiest article of clothing. I wouldn't even say shorts, just the comfiest article of clothing that I own at this point. I am absolutely in love with them. I have worn them golfing numerous times already, and I've only had them. They sent all the hosts a couple of pairs just so that we knew what we were talking about on the show. And yeah, I've already worn them golfing several times just in the last like 2 weeks. They are my golf shorts, but also they are my lounging around the house shorts. They are, if I have like I want to look decent looking dinner, right? Like if I want to look pretty good going out to like a nice dinner or something, they check that box. They are the most versatile and yet still the comfiest shorts out there. And on top of that, they look great as well. They check every single box. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. That's birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB. All right, everybody, welcome back. Segment two here, Locked On Tigers. Thank you for making us your first listen every single day. I greatly appreciate y'all. Shout out to the everydayers that do tune in every single day. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully recapping some more wins for your Detroit Tigers in this series against the Chicago White Sox. Also, the Tigers play tonight at 6:40 when you're listening to this, if you're listening on Friday, right? And you can catch every single pitch of the Tigers hometown broadcast with the SiriusXM app. That's SXM app. Just search Detroit Tigers and you'll find the home broadcast. So that's a super cool thing that now we are able to do, and you guys can search and find as well. Detroit Tigers, big winners, 7-2 over the Chicago White Sox. What do we want to get into next? I my brain is going a million miles an hour. This was such a fun game. Let's talk Zach Short for a second. I don't even care. Zach Short should probably be in this lineup over Andy Ibañez at the moment, right? That he hit the big tank against Kansas City. I probably did not give him the flowers that he deserved on that episode. That's totally my fault. But he had that homer. And then in this game, again, pinch hit. Has a very clutch, two RBI single up the middle to put the game really out of reach. He's been looking really good lately. And again, Zach Short, I don't think is going to surprise anybody and be anything other than what he has been. But he does walk a lot, and he does run into some power, and he is versatile defensively. Andy Ibañez, his OPS is now under 500 on the season. They're both righties. Why not throw Zach Short out there? It wouldn't surprise me to see him get some more playing time over the weekend. And he has very much earned it. So shout out to Zach Short. Officially, again, maybe a day late. I feel like I didn't talk about it enough yesterday. Giving him the flowers that he deserves after a really nice week this week. Okay, let's talk Alex Fiedo. It's time. This was a masterclass performance by Alex Fiedo. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is not as much the, I don't want to say not as much the performance itself, because it was just a phenomenal performance. But the biggest thing for me was not necessarily the, 10 strikeouts in six innings, or it wasn't the quality start necessarily. It was the fact that he went six innings. That's something we've talked about a lot. We've been talking about Alex Fiedo and Joey Wentz, and talking about how it's very, very important for them to go deeper into ball games to keep this rotation's head above water. And Alex Fiedo, this is now two starts in a row that he's gone decently far into the ball game. And this was obviously a masterclass. We'll talk about what made this outing so great. But that was something I really wanted to highlight, not just get let thrown to the wayside. Innings are so valuable. And now, when looking at this series as well, the outlook of this four-game set, right, you have Alex Fiedo against Lucas Giolito, who's one of the, second-best pitcher on the Chicago White Sox, right? Like, you now took game one with that pitching matchup, and the Tigers, we have now our second and our ace in our rotation going Saturday and Sunday. Winning even one of the first two games of this series was absolutely huge. And Alex Fajardo stepped up in a massive way. This was an unbelievable start. Easily the best start of his career so far. He goes 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Phenomenal stuff. And ESPN Stats and Info on Twitter actually tweeted out a pretty crazy stat where Alex Fajardo was the third Tigers pitcher in franchise history with 10 strikeouts, 0 walks, and 3 or fewer hits allowed. The only other two are Denny McClain, which happened in 1965, and Anibal Sanchez that happened in 2014. So that's the kind of company he kept with this start. Look, it wasn't some like he completely reinvented himself and was a completely different pitcher than what we're used to. It was two pitches. It was 52 four-seam fastballs and 35 sliders. And it was awesome. The biggest thing in this one, early on, I actually thought he was missing some spots, like later in counts. Not early on. He really was winning the race to 1-2 strikes pretty often. But I felt like maybe I want you to go a little bit more out of the zone there. Maybe that one caught a little bit too much of the plate with two strikes, kind of a thing. And then the second and third time through the lineup, just not a thing at all. He looked absolutely stellar. And again, the only reason the one run was scored was because he didn't hold Jake Berger onto first base at one point early in the ballgame, or else this would have been 6 innings, 1 run. That fastball slider, the thing with Fajardo, I'll reiterate the innings thing again. The thing with Alex Fajardo has never been that he doesn't have the ability to get people to swing and miss or have the ability to just get people out. He can. The big question mark around Fajardo for really his entire since his major league debut has been, can he do it 5, 6, 7 innings into a ball game consistently? And this game, he obviously did. All the credit in the world was really tunneling. Like, it was a tunneling masterclass, people. It really was. When you look up the definition of tunneling fastballs and sliders, this performance should pop up. Low and away fastball, dot. Low and away slider makes the hitter look foolish. You're going, what are you swinging at that's 5 feet out of the strike zone? Then another slider. They maybe check swing. Swing and miss, great. They hold up. Okay, well, now we're going back to the four-seam fastball, low and away. Dot, they think it's the slider. They take it, strike three. He had a 32% CSW percentage, our favorite stat here, called strikes plus whiffs percentage. On the outing, the slider alone had a 37% and had 11 whiffs. He had 11 swinging misses on the slider, 5 on the four-seam fastball. And for good measure, he threw 7 changeups. 2 of them were whiffed on. He had 18 whiffs in this baseball game, paired with a career-high 10 strikeouts and 0 walks. Again, the definition of dominating the strike zone. The only real mistake he made that was taken advantage of was the home run. And even that was kind of a gimme home run, barely over the wall and barely a fair ball. On a fastball that did not catch a ton of the plate. It was an up-and-in fastball that was right on the black. And Sheets just turned on it because he's playing the Detroit Tigers and he loves to do that. This was awesome. And I was shocked that he even threw 7 changeups, and I thought all 7 actually looked really good. I want to see more of those. I was so unbelievably impressed, as was everybody. But the pitch mix... credit to Eric Haas as well. Eric Haas behind the dish, somebody who I've consistently said, like, Jake Rogers is the best catcher on this team when it comes to defensive and calling games and whatnot. I thought Eric Haas was pretty stellar in this one as well behind the dish. So he deserves a ton of flowers as well. But golly, Alex Fajardo, the executed everything to a T, especially, again, after the first time through the lineup, really buckled down. And even after giving up the homer, just went back and really went back to whatever zone he was in. Stellar. Absolutely stellar performance by Alex Fajardo. Hat off. ERA down to 4.15 on the year. If you're looking at this rotation, again, I said this a couple of episodes ago. Erod, you're confident that can go 6 or later. Lorenzen, we know, can go six or later if needed. He can throw 100 pitches. No big deal. Matt Boyd has not gone deep into games consistently. Joey Wentz has certainly been the definition of inconsistent so far. Can't really rely on him to go deep into games. Alex Fiedo, two starts in a row, has gone pretty deep into ball games. If you can just get one of Fiedo, Wentz, Boyd to consistently give you innings, the outlook of this rotation changes dramatically. And this was awesome to see from Alex Fiedo. I know I'm really focusing on the innings, and I don't want to take away from the great performance it was, because he was just absolutely stellar across the board. But that's such a big deal that cannot go unnoticed. Okay? Awesome. So big hat off. I almost, in hockey terms, almost said stick taps. Big hat off to Alex Fiedo. Phenomenal performance. Let's get into the rest. There's still so much to go over. We still got a lot of ball to talk, all right? But first, I got to tell y'all about our friends over at Rocket Money. Try it free for 30 days. That's a quote we've heard a million times. It gives you just enough time to try it and then completely forget about it. In fact, over 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. You could be wasting money and not even realize it. Rocket Money helps you find those forgotten subscriptions so you can stop paying for the ones you don't use. It's really, I say it a lot, but it's the definition of clutch. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about, and chances are you are one of them. So, over 3 million people have used Rocket Money as well. They save the average person up to $720 a year. That's so much money and such a high percentage of people that clearly need to use Rocket Money. So stop throwing away your money and cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. All right, everybody, welcome back here. Third and final segment of Locked On Tigers. Wow, what a ball game. Need to catch my breath here. We've just been going a million miles an hour. This was such a fun game. The walk frenzy, this team walked 11 times, the most walks they have had all season. But I want to point to just the bigger picture. The last week, we've been talking a lot about they've been getting on base and just can't score runs all the time, et cetera, et cetera. The Detroit Tigers, your Detroit Tigers, are tied, at the time of this recording, tied for the league lead in on-base percentage over the last 7 days. Now, is that a very small sample size? Yes. Are they still in the bottom, like, five or six in baseball over the course of the season? Yes. Okay? I'm not trying to sell you something that I'm not trying to polish up a turd, right? I'm not trying to sell you something that's not true. But objectively, over the last week, the Tigers not only have the most walks drawn in the game of baseball, it's by double digits. It's not even close. They have like a 15-walk cushion on the next, I think it's the Cubs, the team with the next most walks over the last week. So clearly, their approaches that the team has had over the last 7 days has been working, and they have been great. 11 walks in this game. We had a game against Kansas City with 10 walks. There's a game against the Nationals with 8 walks, right? And even the games kind of in the middle there, 4, 6, 4. They are getting on base. They're drawing their walks. And now it just becomes, can they consistently start hitting them in? That's the next big question. Akil Badu and Zach McKinstry I want to talk about specifically as well. McKinstry goes 0-for-1, but with 3 walks. He has 7 walks in his last 5 games. Okay? Zach McKinstry is him. 784 OPS on the season, 270 batting average. He might just be like the perfect leadoff hitter. He had a steal in this base. He also scored from second on a single in this ball game. Like, he might just be awesome. And that's awesome. Akil Badu, one of the bigger stories in this ball game as well. He goes 2-for-3 with the home run. Akil Badu also in this game had a chopper up the middle that Tim Anderson took half a second where he tried to get tag Matt Vierling. and then missed him, realized he couldn't get him, decided to go to first, and Akil Badu was already well past first base. That is the kind of stuff that Akil Badu brings. That is speed on the base paths to get you an extra base runner, and then also cleared the seats, crushed a home run, absolutely destroyed it, over 400 feet to the pull side, smoked the baseball. Akil Badu now has, very quietly, a 726 OPS on the season. And I know that that's not like all-star caliber or whatever, but if you look at this lineup, that is the third highest OPS in the starting lineup tonight. He's been walking a boatload lately, and he has two home runs in the last week, and he's finally getting hits, just in general, outside of just getting on base via walk. And all the stuff he brings you on the base paths. This is the thing I was talking about in the spring as to why he had the ability to be so valuable to this baseball team. Draws walks, wreaks havoc on the base paths. He's gonna make noise. And we saw that to a T in this ball game. What's next? There's just there's so much that I want to talk about. We're starting to run low on time. Okay, really quickly, let's go over the runners in scoring position, left on base battle in this ballgame. Tigers versus runners in scoring position. That's like our favorite thing to do here. Tigers, 4-for-13 with runners in scoring position. Now, 4-for-13 is a just barely over .300 batting average with runners in scoring position. Obviously, that's not going to happen over the course of the season. But 3-for-13 is like a .230 batting average with runners in scoring position. Okay? This is my point. I'm not asking for this team to go at like 4-for-13. They still failed 9 times with runners in scoring position. They left 13 runners on base still. Like, they still had a team lob of 13. That's a lot, okay? I'm not asking for this team to be the greatest, most clutch team of all time. I'm asking for 1 or 2 more hits a game, and that is exactly what we got in this ballgame. Exactly. They still had their moments. Matt Vierling left like a million men on base in this game. They still had their moments, but as a whole, they just gave you 1 or 2 more timely hits than you're used to, and it led to a comfortable victory. Not even really, by the end of it, not even a super competitive ballgame. Alex Lang didn't even need to pitch, right? So that is exactly what I've been asking for. Not asking for the world here. Just one more timely hit a game, and you can be somebody. And that's what they were in this ballgame. It was absolutely fantastic to see. Javi Baez, speaking of runners in scoring position, give him all the heat you want. Say whatever you will about Javi Baez. Given what has transpired over his Tigers tenure so far, it's been a roller coaster to say the least. He has, on the season, when looking at batting average with runners in scoring position, he had one today going into this game. He has had a .313 batting average with runners in scoring position. That is comfortably Akil Badu batting .310 with runners in scoring position. But that is the highest on the team. The only person who has a higher batting average with runners in scoring position on the Tigers is Austin Meadows, but he only has 6 plate appearances with runners in scoring position. So Javi has comfortably been your most clutch hitter so far on the season. I mean, even when comparing him to Badu, he has 20 more ABs with runners in scoring position, like sample size wise on the season. So Javi, biggest sample size with the stat and the most execution, over .300 average for a team that is batting, going into this game, was batting .215 with runners in scoring position. I know Cody Stavenhagen tweeted something about that as well, but again, say what you will about Javi, he has been pretty objectively the team's most clutch hitter on the season. And that's something that he came through with again in this ball game. What else do we have? I think that's it. We'll end on this, okay? Strike zone dominated. Okay? Scott Harris, it was the first thing he said when he took over. And in this ball game, the Detroit Tigers walked offensively 11 times, which is the most they've walked in a game, I think they said, in years. Okay? And the pitching allowed how many walks? Zero. And Alex Fiedo had a boatload of strikeouts. Right? So the pitching had 13 strikeouts and zero walks, while the offense had 11 walks total. Absolutely beautiful. Also, for whatever it's worth, on the strikeout side of things, team still struck out 10 times. However, the only people with more than one strikeout in this game were Eric Haas and Andy Ibañez at the bottom of the lineup. So everybody else with either one or zero Ks on the game. But 11 walks for your offense, zero walks for your pitching. Can't get too much more strike zone dominated than that. And again, that's been a trend over the last week. Tigers walking more than any other team in baseball over the last 7 days. Vibes are through the roof, people. Thanks for making Locked On Tigers your first listen every single day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. Shout out to the everydayers that do tune in every single day. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully recapping a couple more victories. So really quickly, I said it earlier, I'm not going to repeat myself, but this was such a huge game, just given the pitching matchup and the fact that you have your two best pitchers still going yet in this series. To take one of these first two was vital. Joey Wentz goes for the Tigers on Friday night. We'll see how that goes. That's been shaky lately. But Saturday is Lorenzen and Sunday is Erod. They're going Lance Lynn, who has a 6.3 ERA against Joey Wentz on Friday. They have not announced their starter on Saturday. And then they're going Dylan Cease, their ace, on Sunday. But he has a 4.6 ERA on the season. So I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm thinking if you're an everydayer. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get like too just like high with the highs and too lows with the lows. Like I know it's May, but the Tigers are two games out of first place. They're 23-25. Three games left against the White Sox team that they have a better record than. Two of their best pitchers going this weekend. Let's go have some fun, baby. All right? Also, I'll reiterate again, check out the Detroit Tigers broadcast on the SiriusXM app. You can now find it any ballgame. You can just go to the SiriusXM app and search Detroit Tigers, and the home broadcast will come up. Super cool. All right? Okay, I'm going to send you to the super cool outro video now. Peace and love. Going to therapy's dope. I'll catch you on Monday, baby. Go Tigers. Look how cool it is. Oh, this isn't muted anymore. Huh.